Hello everyone, I hope you're well. My name's Tim Sheehan, editor of the Brewers Journal, and it's a pleasure today to be joined by Joe Ross, the co-founder of a staggeringly good brewery here in Portsmouth. How are you, Joe?
I'm well. I'm a little bit cold. Apologies for that.
Well, it is February. You know, I feel like it's been this eternal winter, but
we'll flick the heating on for you tomorrow. I promise.
Well, we're at the host venue of our Brewers Lectures tomorrow, so appreciate Joe's time to give us a little bit more of the background of this brilliant brewery here in Portsmouth. So, first things first, 6 points at the top of the table ahead of Derby. That's pretty good going.
Are you going to talk about football?
We'll kick it off. We have to kick it off.
Have I got to pretend that I know anything about football?
Well, we've got people in the room that do love football, so they can just, you know, chime in. But
win or lose, they always booze. That's what
win
we say.
Win or lose, they always booze. But it's, you know, lucky fat football fans have such a great spot so close to a historic and brilliant ground.
Yeah, well, we, you know, obviously there's a lot of passion and Pompey has stepped from being a fan-owned club with a lot of heart and soul in it, a lot of history and heritage. And, you know, we are literally a stone's throw from there with the nearest pint and the best one to the stadium. Yeah. And, you know, it's nice to know that we're celebrated and, with home and away fans, actually, that come down for the games. And we get, you know, a lot of people coming through our doors on those days. It's great.
Yeah, well, the sort of match day experience is not necessarily, especially in this country, synonymous with good beer. You know, I feel like Twitter, social media is full of all, hey, look at this great pint of German lager I've got at Borussia Dortmund or somewhere like that. So I think it's quite unusual for people to get a really good pint on a match day. I mean, do you feel like you kind of brought some people on a journey into the sort of world of, let's call it craft, that might not normally have been exposed to it?
Yeah, funny story, actually. When we first started out, we weren't in this large unit. We were in a slightly smaller one next door. And I was a little bit nervous about opening 4 football days, not knowing much about football, just thinking they're all just, you know, a bunch of brutal bastards wanting to kick each other's heads in. I've learned a lot that they're actually a beautiful bunch of people. But when we first started out, I was a little nervous. I literally had a baseball bat under the counter. It was just me at the time. Being on an industrial unit where we were the first sort of business doing this type of thing. And, you know, so I was very nervous and very cautious and in through the door potted Graham, who I now know very, very well and is, you know, an investor in our crowdfunder. When he first walked through the door, he's like, only drink dark beer. Have you got a porter or whatever? And I was like, yeah, gave him that. And then the other day I caught him drinking, you know, a carrot and vanilla sour. And I was like, mate, you've changed.
Yeah.
We've moved you on. He was like, you've changed me. It's all good. So, I mean, in that one case study, yeah, most definitely. You know, we've introduced people to that. We on a football day, we previously, and up until more recently, we've limited the range that's available on a football day just simply because of the sheer numbers of people that are coming through the door. But I think now that doesn't necessarily do us any favours because most people now already know what they want from us. When we were newer and our brand was less recognisable to those people on those days, then it was quite important to say, hey, that's a lager, that's an ale, that's a stout or whatever. But now it's, you know, people know what they want. They know they want a Stegosaurus or they want a, you know, a Bierbasol or a Litlarms or whatever it is, you know. So that's meant that we can actually grow what's available to people on those days. And that means they have a greater availability, greater accessibility as well. You sell yourself quite a few fruited sours and things like that. Yeah, so it's, I definitely think we've opened a few people's eyes to, you know, the breadth of beer as to what it can be.
And you get a good mix of the sports fans and people that are here for more of the exclusive, the beer experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so fundamentally we're, you know, we run a regular taproom service. So, you know, and we have, most people that come here are coming here because of the brewery, because of the beer. On a football day, you know, we have the privilege of the location being near the ground, etc. But I think, on the whole, people come here to, you know, to try something new, or they've heard about some new release or whatever it is. Like lots of craft breweries, you know, that's the reason people come here, to get our beer and the best condition that they can get it, you know?
I mean, it's obviously, it must be a huge contributor, you know, on that sort of, on the home games, you know, during the season, you know, that money going straight into the tilt.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, we had 1,000 people here on last Saturday.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, we're a big building, but that's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a noticeable uptick. Yeah, I mean, I was saying a minute ago, like, you know, and as you can probably tell from my anxiety at the beginning stages of opening on football days and not being particularly, you know, there's a lot of people that work here are football fans, but I'm a fan of the game, but not necessarily a fan of the culture as a whole. I now see, you know, an amazing, we have a great relationship with the fans, and I actually see a really lovely, you know, the people that come through the door as fathers, sons, you know, mothers, daughters, and we try to create sort of like a family environment. And I think that's encouraged a lot more people to start coming in now as well, because they can celebrate it as a family day, which is the kind of thing that I think that sort of thing should be, you know, like going to the football, going to the rugby, whatever the sport is, should be a family occasion, should be something that's celebrated that you can sort of, you know, take your youngsters to and you know, not be worried that they're going to, you know, encounter some untoward, unnecessary attitudes. And so, by opening our doors and being very broad, I think we encourage a lot of people through the door, and that's made it very, very popular. And so, on our accounts, it's a very nice little tick. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's a great environment and, you know, great beer. So everybody wins, I guess.
Thanks.
Obviously, Portsmouth been on, you know, the football club been on a huge journey in this sort of 8 years since you started out, but so has the craft beer industry, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, how have you seen it in this part of the UK really kind of change and evolve? And obviously, the last couple of years, there's been a multitude of challenges as well.
Yeah, I think those challenges were coming anyway, but I think, you know, they've been expedited for certain. How have I seen it evolve? I mean, like, I think it was when it first started out, when the bubble really kind of exploded, I'd say sort of 10, 15 years ago, it was a very exciting time. It was very sort of forward thinking. I think people now, I think the attitude now is a little bit more restrained, a little bit more protective. A lot of people have built themselves up, ourselves included, to a certain level whereby there's a lot of people depending on us. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of staff, a lot of paychecks, a lot of rents and mortgages that depend on us, you know, being successful. And that comes with its own, it challenges your desire for risk. You know, I feel as though that we want to take big risks and big leaps of imagination when it comes to creating new products. But they're not necessarily the fastest selling things. They're not necessarily without risk in terms of production. We've had, you know, various recalls, some of our most recent products. A couple of our wreckers didn't work out quite the way we wanted them to. You know, and we've had that in the past before as well. And so, you know, risk isn't necessarily without cost. There are certain things like R&D grants that you can get to sort of mitigate that to an extent, but it still can be it can be painful. And when, you know, you're playing in a field that, you know, is beyond running a business and the difficulties and challenges of that with escalating costs. To an extent, you try and swallow it where you can, but you have to eventually hand a bit of that onto the customer. Then that provides its own challenges as well. Why should they come to you and not stay at home, or or go somewhere else? So for us, that's where the biggest challenge has been adapting and creating an experience that makes people want to come to us beyond anything else. I think if you just sit there and wait for people to come, you. And I think a lot of breweries, I won't name specifics, but I know that there are breweries out there that have just expected the wave that they were on to continue without really sort of adapting and changing to the environment. We're very lucky here that we have the opportunity to put on experiences, and we have, I'd say myself and John come from an imaginative and creative background. We're both graphic designers and you know, do illustration, etc. So our history is creative, and so we have to think of silly things. And also we're quite stupid, very uncool people, and so we do think of ridiculous things, but we tend to, if we think of something, we tend to go through with it. So for example, more recently, I mean, we'll do a lot of events, like we do burlesque, and we do like hip hop bingo and things like that, which are touring events that have chosen our venue because they think our venue is suitable and it's fantastic. And they are great nights, really fantastic events. But then we also put on our own things. So we actually bought a wrestling ring recently.
Amazing.
And we do a thing. Well, it's basically because every time you filled out the licensing document, it was almost encouraging this to happen. It says, are you putting on wrestling events? And every time I'd tick it, just going, yeah. one day. And then we saw this wrestling ring come up and we were like, fuck it, let's get it. So we did. And then we had to sort of imagine something around it. And so we've kind of come up with this silly concept. So it's the Brewery Brawl, and we get people turning up here, and it's just like a big wrestling ring. We work with a local amateur wrestling group, and you know, we put on a bit of theater. Really, we got the full lighting rig, and we have Elvis comparing it. And the whole story at the moment for the last one we ran was that Dolly Parton was a cyborg from the future intent on killing Elvis. And so yeah, there's a whole silly.
I missed this year's one?
No, we look to run it like four times a year. Cool. We got to get the money out of that wrestling ring. So yeah, we're going to try and do it as many times as we feel as though it's you know, viable. So yeah, like maybe 3 to 4 times a year is something we hope to do, and like change the narrative and all those kind of things. You know, like to make it a fun, different experience every time people come. You know,
living the dream. I mean, you've got the space for it, so it's great to see it actually being used. You know. To realize that potential.
Yeah. Well, and also we put on, you know, a lot of live music. We've had Ben Oswell from Gomez. We've had, you know, like we've got you know, the guys from The Levelers playing soon. So like we have like a little bit of the nostalgia circuit coming around to us, but we've had some great acts like Nick Mulvey play here and stuff, and it's always a sellout. It's always a great atmosphere, and it's nice to bring a music venue to life as opposed to seeing them close. So it's, you know, like a lot of brewers, I'm a sort of you know, failed musician, washed up on the shore of brewing to sort of find a way to my creative soul. But but by doing that, I feel as though we're contributing to the wider community as well, and not just sort of like thinking about, you know, right, brewing and it being insular about, you know, what we're here for. You know, we're creative people beyond just beer, you know.
Well, a music venue with great beer, I mean, again, win-win. There's few and far between.
And I think that's what sets us apart, is that, you know, we have this space, we have this venue, and that's, I guess, coming back to that question of what you were asking about, you know, changes in the environment and in the scene. I think that's the thing. It's, you know, it's an evolution, isn't it? It's not one thing. It's not, the craft beer industry isn't here, and it, you know, it exists here, and it's always going to exist at this point. It's something that's got to change and adapt, and people are going to die off, and there'll be new people kind of come out of nowhere, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it does change and adapt. And for some people, that will mean being more conservative, more reserved, and for others, it will mean being more out there. And for people like us, it's sort of somewhere in between. You know, we've got a strong core range, but then we also like to push the boundaries a little bit.
So obviously, am I right in thinking this is your 8th year, starting out 2015?
Yeah, it depends how far back you go. Yeah. I mean, obviously we homebrewed to an extent, but stepping commercially, I think we registered the company in 2015, yeah.
So what were the sort of, what lit that fire under you? What were the beers? Obviously you liked homebrewing, but what beers, what breweries inspired you to kind of start doing that yourself?
Darkstar were my rock stars. They were like, everything that they did, I just devoured. You know, I if anyone ever visited from abroad and I had to pick them up from Gatwick, I was always like straight in there, you know, getting beers from those guys. They were a massive inspiration behind us making the beers that we make now, but certainly about them. They're, you know, like just really sort of like opened my eyes to what was possible with certain styles. And, you know, even, you know, with their Imperial Range or the Green Hop IPAs and things like that, it was an inclusive thing as well, you know, bringing in the community. They as well use their brewery for, you know, these types of events, for larger events. So, you know, for me, it sort of was quite they were the guys, really.
Amazing. And when it comes to, obviously, now you create a really diverse, excellent range of beers. I mean, you talked about the risks you can take with new recipes and new styles, but when it comes to sitting down and putting together new beers, you know, how does that process pan out?
It's different. It's like writing songs. Sometimes one person comes up with the lyrics, and another time it's a riff that, yep, you know, takes you in a different direction. And I think it, without wanting to be too sort of, you know, clinical about it, to an extent, we're sort of planning the year out as far as we can in advance and going, what kind of beer sells well around this time? And, you know, maybe we're exploiting certain seasons and celebrations. And but sometimes it's just what takes our fancy at the moment. You know, we're only beginning to get organized. So in the past, we've been very erratic about the types of beers that we've made and, you know, what we would like to see. And really, it's just been a case of what haven't we seen? Mm. Let's try something like that, or looking for inspiration further afield, you know, looking to the States and the kind of beers that they're making over there, which seem to be completely unboundaried. And so, yeah, but in terms of creating a recipe, it depends what it is. I mean, like, with the more traditional stuff that we've been working on more recently, we've brought to the market a golden ale and a best bitter, which is not a style that we, it's a style that we love, or they're both styles that we love, traditional styles, but it's certainly something that's missing locally, and it's not something we want to see go away. Yeah. As something that's produced locally. And so Danny comes with a huge passion for that style of beer, being from the Midlands and carrying a sparkler around in his pocket almost permanently, waiting for someone to ask him to just put it on their tap. But, you know, I think he and Adam, who is our other brewer and comes from Arundel, who have a great heritage of, you know, making traditional styles, they both work on the recipes together in that respect. And then, you know, I give them the Caligula thumbs up or down. Yeah. You know, it used to be the case that I was coming up with it all. Now I just sort of, I contribute, and I try to give guidance where I know, but you know, those guys have got a great flying knowledge, and I pick up as much as I, you know, as I give in that respect. So I think those guys really are the creative tour de force of, you know, what we do. And they come at me with ideas, and then we try to work out how we're going to make it work, you know, and then that's where I kind of come in. Yeah.
Fantastic. So what's the rest of the year got in store? I mean, you said you're just starting to get organized. I mean, I feel like the years fly by in the world of beer and brewing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We're still like a chaotic mess. but yeah, we're still still sort of fleshing it out. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. I'm very excited about a collaboration with Vault City, which we haven't actually formally announced yet, but it's so close now that I don't think it really matters. So that'll be nice. We'll be going up there to do that. And that for those people that sort of like our Recca range and like the sort of more recent stuff that those guys are doing, I think they will enjoy what we have planned. You know, we have our big focus has been more recently on our core range, but now we feel as though we have that sort of production locked in. So we're very keen to sort of now kind of step into doing a little bit more barrel aging.
Amazing.
We've got a couple of imperial stouts, which are utterly ridiculous. What's in the tank at the moment is basically hot chocolate at, you know, plus 10%, and it's looking utterly outrageous. So that wow, we have coming out fairly soon, and then we'll be aging some of that for later in the year. Yeah, some nice fruit sours. There's going to be some wreckers. They're probably going to blow up, you know. Keep them away from your dog and your white carpets, but yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah,
we're always learning. No, so, you know, hopefully, I mean, we've done plenty. I always get a lot of beef for that, so I'm trying to reverse the narrative. But actually, you know, we've done a lot of those beers, and they've all gone down pretty well, other than the more recent ones where we had some issues with butyric acid and one that blew up many years ago. But, you know, we've released about 13 or 14 wreckers now, and I love doing those, and so I'd like to see them continue. And aside from that, we've got some big things going on at the tap room. Lots of events, lots of wrestling, lots of, and we've got a new food resident kitchen coming in, which is going to be fantastic. Bare Bones.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, very excited about that. The collaboration of smoked goods, particularly meats, but you know, also some great vegan options as well and veggie options.
Beautiful.
You know, paired with our beers is something that I think really makes the experience of coming here. Because I think when you are an industrial unit outside of the main city, you've got to be an experiential site. You've got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason for people to stick around,
yeah,
you know, or to just venture here in the first place.
Yeah, a reason to visit and a reason to stay.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
So for people that have yet to come here, what days are you normally open? What are the hours?
So for now, we're open really awkward hours to remember. It doesn't flow, but it's so at the moment it's just Thursday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we're open. So we do an amazing open mic every Thursday, which people are all welcome to, whether you want to play or not. That's something that we you know, really pride ourselves on. We've got some great musicians just that turn up now regularly to you know, deliver incredible performances. So we open on every Thursday, but like I say, anyone's welcome between 5 and 11. And then Friday, we're open a little longer, 3 till 11.
Okay.
And Saturday, midday till 11. But those hours are set to grow. We are certainly really excited about the idea of offering food on a Sunday roasts particularly. I think would be particularly exciting if we could do something really exciting over a big smoker. That would be offering something different. Potentially a quiz night like you've never experienced before on a Wednesday night. I know John was looking at buying mini Mario Karts to ride around in here as part of some sort of quiz challenge. That are about that sort of size. So lots of
interesting everything at this rate.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, maybe extending the hours to do sort of different things like that, you know, and having opening up on different days. But for now, Thursday to Saturday, but amazing. Just check our website.
And, yeah, what's the website?
Staggeringlygood.com.
Cool. And also check the footy fixture calendar if you want to avoid the throngs on match days. But fantastic. Well, Joe, thank you very much for your time today.
Cheers, mate. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Drunk any of that.
Well,
here we go.
Thanks very much for joining us, everyone. As I said, my name's Tim, editor of the Brewers Journal, and this is Joe Ross, co-founder of Staggeringly Good Brewery. See you next time.